Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 long seasons of exile in the National League. Dedicated staff and passionate supporters celebrate the city's return to glory, the big time, all while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in that higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One's promised land? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu. You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network. Suboptimal Radio.
Does it matter to you if you don't touch the ball much as long as when it counts, you get the goals?
My dream is to touch the ball five times and score five goals. That's my biggest dream.
It's Rog. It's Friday and we made it to the end of another week. Not just another week, but a weekend approaches in which season 9 of the Men in Blazers show returns to NBC's Peacock. And I will say, God, it's the honour of a life that we are sullying your screens, covering the game we love in the nation we love. Season bloody 9, we do not take that for granted. And if you can't tell, I'm honestly buzzing as we pod, still buzzing after a midweek visit to our nation's capital. Yes, I was in DC this week at the National Archive, where I'd been invited to address a class of newly minted American citizens who were sworn in. This is incredible, in front of the actual Constitution. And God, it was amazing. Unbelievably beautiful. A ceremony in celebration of the Constitution's 235th anniversary, which comes up this Saturday, Constitution Day. And I found it so incredibly bloody moving watching 25 people who hail from 21 different nations have their lives transformed by the act of becoming American citizens together. And I'm not going to lie, I sobbed all the way through my remarks, totally snotted up. At one point, I had to stop. I was just like, you know, when you're crying and you just like, just like that. And I think partially I was moved because of the memories of my own citizenship process, 2018, which being in that room really unleashed. And my wife, God bless her, was sitting right in front of me. I think I made eye contact with her, which was a big, big mistake. I was suddenly, let's just say, overwhelmed by a lot of life. And also because of the symbolic power of being this kid who dreamed, as you know, about America, growing up in Liverpool in the 1980s, now having the opportunity to stand there in the rotunda with the actual Constitution right behind me, the Declaration of Independence to my right, and over my left shoulder, it was only the Bill of Rights. And to look up in that setting at a class of fellow new citizens and tell them the iconic phrase, "We the people," now includes you as part of that "we." God. Few things more powerful. Honestly, the best of this nation. By the way, so many football fans in that class of 25 people, a Brazilian who lives for World Cups, a Jurgen Klopp obsessive from Germany, a Ghanaian who adores Real Madrid, a Cameroonian, Samuel Eto'o obsessive. I was also touched in that vein to discover just how many diehard Premier League football fans there are amongst the staff at the National Archives. I met Spurs fans, Arsenal supporters, United devotees. And what a place that is, the National Archives. The archivists, let me just say, are true American heroes, human beings who dedicate their lives. Honestly, most people have worked there for decades to preserving the very records that underpin our nation. They ensure, these human beings, and it's a hardy band of people, that the American stories we tell ourselves about ourselves are ones that are grounded in primary sources. It's bloody vital work. Without them, we'd have no shared truths. And to experience a naturalization ceremony at the National Archive, that powerful process in which collective dreams and yearnings are made real before your very eyes, that is so unbelievably profound. And I truly do believe, tweeted this, but I actually believe it absolutely. And anyone can do this. You can do this if you're listening in your city, in your town. I truly believe every single American should attend at least one of these ceremonies a year. They are all that is good about our nation. We will release a version of this event, a video, was shot on video on our social channels this Saturday. If you want to see me sobbing, subscribe to our YouTube. And one quick note, our book, Gods of Soccer, please keep those pre-orders coming if you have one. Thank you. If you don't yet, please, your love, your support means the world to us. We are launching quite strongly, but bringing a book out in the year 2022 is an absurd, crazy work of passion. It's a madness. So please, I'm asking for a reason. Grab your copy now, dear listener. Get all our goodies with our thanks and our love in return. If you go to meninblazers.com, click on the book part, you can access a patch that we have with our new logo, a beautiful limited edition poster, an invitation to join us at our launch celebration on October the 11th. Come raise a beer with us. Go to meninblazers.com, and if you can, remember, support your indie bookstores, America. Okay, producer Jonah, we got football this weekend. Yes, the Premier League returns from its moment of self-inflicted class warfare with a partial schedule. There'll be a raft of ritual tributes to the Queen before kickoff. There'll be national anthems played, moments of applause in the 70th minute to mark the number of years of her reign. Managers are encouraged to wear suits. There are going to be some games off, because policing is overstretched in Britain with the royal funeral coming up on Monday. Police have been drafted from all over the country for that. So the bad news, Chelsea versus Liverpool off, Manchester United versus Leeds off, Brighton versus Crystal Palace had already been cancelled for industrial strike action. But let's delve into what we've got. Let's never take it for granted, right? Sting me up, producer Jonah. That was Premier League Finally by Stephen Thorne and Nick Chancellor. What a duo. Feels like forever since we've had a Premier League weekend. And finally, we back. And you are listening to WGFOP Weekend Preview, the show where you call in your questions like a moderator at the SALT Conference. Oh, and I answer them like Todd Bowley at the SALT Conference by going on a winding, alarming tangent. Call in your questions to 646-450-9472. You know what? I'd love it next week if we had a question like, hey, guys, this is Todd from Connecticut. I want to know, how should I... Let's hypothetically believe I spend $3 billion on a club. It rhymes with Smelsey. Do you have any suggestions, Todd? We got you. Call us and you can have your question featured on the show. Question me up.
Hi, this is Jennifer from Chicago. I am a somewhat disappointed Evertonian. This is in response to your call out for insights into the response of this idea of bringing an all-star game to the Premier League. Man, it feels disappointing to see the continued push for like a McDonaldification, no offense, McDonald's, of things around the world. We really could respect and embrace all the beauty of the Premier League and keep a Hollywood America-centric model out of it. But here we are with American owners of big major football clubs in the Premier League. So hoping it doesn't happen, hoping there's increased respect for the model of English football and other European leagues around, but pretty disappointing to see as an American fan of sport. Courage, fans, courage.
The McDonald's-ification of the Premier League. Oh, Jennifer from Chicago, I love that idea. Conceptually, not in reality. I just love that the Premier League, but supersized. Oh, my God. Let's just say Todd Boehly has had himself a week. Yes, the American who has owned Chelsea for just over 100 days, as they say in England, was on one at the Salt Conference as he blundered his way through a brainstorm sesh in which he talked about English football as if he knew it all.
I mean, ultimately, I hope that the Premier League takes a little bit of a lesson from American sports and really starts to figure out, you know, why wouldn't we do a tournament, you know, with the bottom four teams? Why isn't there an all-star game? I mean, people are talking about more money for the pyramid. You know, MLB did their all-star game in LA this year. We made $200 million from, you know, a Monday and a Tuesday. You know, so, you know, I think you could do a North versus South, you know, all-star game for Premier League and fund whatever the pyramid needed very easily.
Oh, Todd. Oh, God. Honestly, when I heard this, a clip which sounds like a spoof of how an English person would do an impression of an American owner talking about the Premier League, my jaw did drop. And I was like, oh, God, we are going to get it. We Americans are going to get it. And we deserve it in this case, as we will discuss. This is a man who thinks he and his super brain can solve all the world's problems while simultaneously undermining himself with blunders and just malapropisms, such as rattling off some of the biggest names to emerge from Chelsea's youth academy. Yes, Todd really did name drop Kevin De Bruyne and Mo Salah. It was no fever dream. I wish it was. And yes, Todd did talk. And this one was barely registered as a shock and all, like, what the hell is he talking about? But to me, this was perhaps the most insane thing he said. The relegation battle being turned into a bottom four playoff. I mean, this was a Kendall Roy caliber performance from Todd Boehly, a man who, in his mind, was just dropping golden nuggets of wisdom, just throwing them out there, impressing the world. Utterly unaware, he was just coming across as a gent with an enormous blind spot, a rich man surrounded by so many yes sir flunkies that he has no sense of what is the most important thing to do, which is to know what you don't know about something. There is an enormous cultural difference between American sports and English sports, between American sports ownership and European football stewardship. Make no mistake, what we heard was the most disastrous early first impression from an American Premier League investor, which is how they see themselves. We're investors since Tom Hicks, still my favourite Liverpool owner of all time, with Gillette, rolled up at Anfield. And in his very first press conference, blathered on about his love of the Liverpool Reds. We just bought ourselves the Liverpool Reds. I mean, my God, talking about the Liverpool Reds, let's hear what Jamie Carragher had to say about Bowley Ball and the possibility of an All-Star game.
I'll be honest with you. When I look at that statement, I think it's incredibly arrogant to speak about a league that you don't know. I'm not as strong as Thierry. I don't think we should ever discount ideas. Of course we shouldn't. The Premier League is an international league with owners, managers, players, and that's what makes it the best.
Would you have liked it, or Star Game?
No, but what I'm saying, no, I don't particularly like those ideas, but I think to come and speak like that when he's not even proved he can run a Premier League club well yet. I mean, he sacked a manager after three games. having spent 250 million. So straight away you're thinking, that's not right. So he's not made a great start. To speak like that when you've been somewhere for, I don't know, 6 weeks and talk about, we're going to bring what we do in other American sports. I just think how the American public would feel if an English Premier League football owner then went to the NFL and was saying, we do this in the Premier League.
We will teach you.
Incredibly arrogant to speak like that.
I know. I know. Some of you will be recoiling in your seats by your pod radios saying, Rog, there are many sides to every story. And I want to acknowledge we did get a heavy, heavy, heavy mailbag. So many Ravens coming to menandblazers@gmail.com this week. And some from fans who love the All-Star idea. So let's listen to one.
My name is Otis. I support Manchester City, and I'm currently in Atlanta, Georgia. In terms of the All-Star game, I think it's not a horrible idea. Again, I'm American, and I'm used to having All-Star games in my sport, but I don't think it's a horrible idea. I think if it was floated by anyone other than Todd Bowley, then it would not have received the amount of criticism it's received in the English media over the past 24 hours. I think if anyone like Arsene Wenger, for example, floated this idea, I think there'd be a lot more journalists trying to have a productive conversation around the idea. I can understand the pushback because Todd Bowley has come in into the Premier League like a bull in a china shop in the transfer window and making suggestions for the Premier League. But I think that the All-Star game could be fun, and I think it'd be interesting to see what would happen.
Otis, you were one of hundreds of voices who came to us over the past couple of days, voices who said, you know what, I love the idea of an All-Star game. I bloody love it. And the thing that's fascinating about it is every single one of them was an American soccer fan. Really, on one level, a reflection of the global popularity of the Premier League. It's no longer just an English Premier League. It is the World's League. And that in itself is a reminder of what my friend Peter Moore told me when he came on our show. You can dig out the podcast back when he was CEO of Liverpool. Really interesting conversation we had where he talked about at Liverpool, they knew the greatest tension in the Premier League was that between the global and the local. And by globally meant really the desires of fans in the new continents like the Americas, Asia, Africa, and those fans who are local, those fans who live in the city where the club actually is, who travel with the team home and away, week in, week out, to all points across England and have done for generations. And if you layer onto that dislocation, the truth that sports, by and large, this is not news to you. If you're listening to this, sports is not rational. It is almost entirely emotional. So when you buy a club, rule one, if you misunderstand those emotions, you become dead to the fans. Evidence part one, see the Glazer family. And the truth is, John Henry and Tom Werner, they made some mistakes too when they took over Liverpool. But what impressed me about those blokes was their learning curve. They grasped almost immediately that they may be American sports investors, ultimately drawn to Liverpool because of the possibility of spectacular profits. And Todd, God bless him, talked about product and no doubt is thinking about revenue lines and is thinking about really football in a franchise perspective. But Werner and Henry realised that the club was bigger than them. In a way, American sports franchises, and they own some, are not. I mean, just see Jerry Jones for the way we let owners dictate almost everything about the clubs we support over here. And if you understand the difference, you can thrive. You know, Tom Werner talks about being a steward of Liverpool. John Henry talks about being a steward of Liverpool. But if you ignore it, you might as well put your hand in a buzzsaw, which is why Burley's tone-deaf comments about establishing an All-Star game to fund the English grassroots pyramid created the firestorm that it did. And my take, just to put it on record, there are so many things wrong with the idea. I honestly didn't know where to begin when I heard it. The Burley talk of football as a product and his skills as an owner in managing, quote, human capital. Oh no, just a lack of understanding. Really, the intensity of hatreds between North and South, amongst major clubs in both regions, as if fans of United and City and Liverpool are going to just suddenly put aside their rivalries and be like, yes, come on the North! Just more than that, the embarrassing failure for a man whose skill is apparently about human capital, not recognising that the biggest stress, the biggest issue for players right now in the elite game is the oversaturation of the football calendar already. He's just like, no, let's throw another log on that fire of fixtures and the big picture truth. And this goes for if you're joining a non-profit board, whatever the size of the non-profit, any new culture, any new world you join, the first thing you do is sit and listen and gain an appreciation of its unique culture, its idiosyncrasies, its ecosystem before you start to try and change it, before you even start talking about it as if you know it, as opposed to just say the other option, charge in and attempt to open your mouth while simultaneously inserting your own hammy fist right down your own throat. I notice, in terms of your question, would there have been such an intense reaction out of a non-American mouth? I've got to tell you, I'd flip that round. The fact it did come out of an American mouth did make it worse, but not for the reason many of us are thinking over here. Remember, that English fan base is still reeling from the trauma and the destruction of the Super League debacle. An idea, yes, it did originate in Spain and in Italy, but it was given the fuel, the muscle, by the American Premier League sports investors' desperate need to keep the oligarchs, the nation state money in check. And so Burley's comments are, there's almost stress of that memory that is echoed through into the present, and Bowley would do well to be aware of that and have, let's just agree on a 1-year moratorium on beginning any sentence at any future conference. I think we can take a lesson from American sports. There's so much brilliant football as we come down to the stretch of the Premier League season. But if you're a Premier League neutral who wants a little bit of that title race excitement, check out Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can get in on the action and win up to 100 times your cash. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across our nation, including California, Texas, and Georgia. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. It's that easy. You can also mix and match players from several leagues across the globe, as well as other sports like basketball and hockey. That's right, Prize Picks. Essentially a utopia where polysport action can live and breathe. I'm talking Washington Caps, Everton, and Chicago Bulls action all at once in the face. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long-time staple in the Bennett refrigerator, Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48-ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favourites in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this, as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke Espresso Blend, have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage. Next question.
Hey, Raj. This is Ryan Grover calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm a fan of the forthcoming Premier League South All-Stars, since they're going to contain all my favorite Chelsea players. So when Jurgen Klopp mentioned bringing over the Harlem Globetrotters to play soccer, I was absolutely on board. Then I realized they need, you know, a perennial rival to play against. That led me to wonder, who in the Premier League is going to play the role of the Washington Generals?
Ryan, your question honestly reminds me of producer J-Dub's favourite Simpsons bit where Krusty bets on the generals because he thinks they're due.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the generals were due!
Let's listen to Jurgen Klopp and his immediate response, laughing at Bowley Ball.
The game tonight, Todd Bowley, the Chelsea owner, has said he favours a North-South All-Star game in English football like they have in the NBA. Just given that you
often... He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't wait long.
Well, I mean,
oh, great. When he finds a date for that, he can call me. when he wants to call us, and during he forgets that in the big sports in America, these players have four-month breaks. So they're quite happy that they can do a little bit of sport in these breaks. It's completely different in football. Does he want to bring Harlem Globetrotters as well and let them play against a football team? I'm surprised by the question, so please don't judge my answers too much. But maybe you can explain it to me at one point and find a proper date. Not sure people want to see that, but imagine that. United players, Liverpool players, Everton players, all together in one team. It's not the national team. It's just the Northwest, and Northwest and Northeast together.
North-South.
Yeah, okay, North against South, it means Northeast. And Newcastle, well, interesting game. And all the London guys together, Arsenal, Tottenham, great. Did he really say it? Interesting.
You know, the thing I love the most about Klopp's speech was that Jurgen admitted that an Everton player could make the All-Star team. And for a moment, I forgot about how much I hated the idea and my little chest popped out in pride. Oh, Nathan Patterson All-Star has such a nice ring about it. Next question.
Hey, Raj, this is Bethany calling from Charlotte, North Carolina, by way of Columbus, Ohio, spiritual home of Dos Aceros. I'm a proud supporter of the U.S. men's national team, U.S. women's national team, and the red side of Liverpool, so don't hold it against me. I'd love for you to settle a debate in our house. My husband and I have been going back and forth about what would you call the act of continuously watching replays of stellar performances in many of the Champions League, English Premier League, and other sporting events that we've watched over the last couple of weeks. We were thinking something in line with the league's use of roster baiting. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Love the pod. Love all the content. Love you and Dave. Courage.
Great past performances. You know, Bethany, as an Everton fan, I don't do it because Dante, I think, was the gent who had that quote about how there's no greater sorrow than to be mindful of the happy time in misery, which is a life truth, my God. But I say that in a week in which you've all just watched Erling Haaland score that goal, the one meeting the incredible Cancelo cross with the outside of his foot with a touch with the outside of his foot that married ballet and taekwondo in equal measure. A goal that was so Zlatanish that the Ibra-hating Pep went out of his way to make sure the world knew that it actually reminded him of Johan Cruyff. The question is, how do you stop a man who barely touches a ball? I think he scored one goal for every 12 touches he's had of it. But when he does, he's guaranteed to blow up the game like a grenade with its pin out. We will find out tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time, as Wolves face Manchester City. A game, possibly, of two strikers. Yes, Diego Costa's return to the Premier League is imminent. He's almost 34. A return which was announced in a spectacular video. Go and look at it online. Which, for the first 10 seconds, made it seem as if Wolves had signed Hannibal Lecter, but then proceeded to reveal that it was Diego Costa, actually someone much, much scarier than aforementioned Hannibal Lecter. Diego is going to need a few weeks to gain match fitness. Dude's not played in 8 months, but it would be no surprise if Bruno Lage flung him onto the field for his team that have been all too blunt. Manchester City, talking about flinging, they will chuck Haaland at that old goal backline like a dead horse carcass flung from a trebuchet during a siege. It'd almost be more surprising if Erling doesn't score than if he does, gent. Oh, was gloating post-game about his achievement against Dortmund.
Erling, they denied you the space there. Obviously, they clearly know how to stop you when they can. I mean, they defended very well.
Yeah, they didn't stop me. I scored, so...
exactly.
But yeah, they
Norwegian Wood. This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalogue. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. I'm currently listening to The Secret Hours by Mick Herron. That's the standalone prequel to the majestic Slow Horses television series. I can't stop listening. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. That's audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know, with your Delta SkyMiles business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.
Next question.
Hi, my name is Nick from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Club is Chelsea. Commenting on Graham Potter and the draw with Salzburg. I think it looked decent, a little more dynamic, but we're still playing keep away ball, getting the chances and missing those exact chances. Really frustrating to watch for 90 minutes. Got a goal in there, but still pissed watching these stupid goals go in the late minutes or the early minutes, just making stupid mistakes. We're not getting where we need to be, and we're not scoring all the goals that we should be scoring. Looking forward to Graham, but at the same time, gotta pack the box when you have 73% of the possession like that. Thanks, Raj.
Nick, hello, you beauty, from that gorgeous corner of the United States, New Mexico. And I've got to say, based on Graham Potter's track record, I've got some bad news about the prospect of economical finishing in your Chelsea future. Ober, Sterling, really more volume finishers. They're going to miss a lot of chances that look simple before they finish one that doesn't. And for those two, it's all about chance creation. And I'm going to say Potter, in that regard, is an excellent, excellent manager. There's a reason his teams look so profligate, because dude works out how to field a high-intensity collective who create like Sun Ra. And I do want to say, though, I do love Graham Potter. I think he's such a decent, noble, good bloke. I am rooting for that gent more than I can say. I mean, just listen to him.
When I left England to go to Sweden, I think I was working in the ninth tier of English football. And then I went to the fourth tier of Swedish football. So in terms of where I sit now, there's the bottom, and then there's like a load of levels, and then there's me. So I had I didn't have any plan that I'm going to be here sitting in front of you guys. Yeah, in terms of ambition, of course, you want to test yourself at the highest level that you can. But I think ambition is one thing. I think, like I said, responsibility is better in terms of work as hard as you can in the job that you are, do as best as you can, and take the steps when it's the right time to take the steps. I always just focused on, there was no grand plan. I just focused on doing my best at every club that I've been at, try to, as I said, take responsibility, try to analyse any mistakes you make, try to move forward. And then it's just about life, isn't it? No one can predict how it's going to go. No one knows. And that's why it's so beautiful.
God, Graham Potter, dude, is a poet trapped in a football manager's body. Next question.
Hi, Raj. My name is Austin Frederick, calling in from beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina today. I'm an ardent Chelsea supporter, but my question today has to do with the United States men's national team. Only 66 days away from the World Cup starting here, and we still don't know who our number nine is. So, you know, I know it's been talked about at length, but there's only so many spots on the plane to Qatar. So with 66 days left to go, if you had to make the decision right now, who do we go for? We could go with Ricardo Pepi, someone who has, you know, a lot of experience playing under Greg Berhalter, but has had a bit of a dip in form of late. You know, do we go with Jesus Ferreira, who has had a fantastic season in MLS? Do we go with Josh Sargent, who has had a hot hand of late but hasn't played a lot under Greg Berhalter? Or maybe do we even go with someone else who hasn't seen much of time under Berhalter or hasn't got as much attention, like Jordan Pefok or Haji Wright or even Jordan Morris? So my question is, who would make your cut if you had to choose today, Courage?
Austin, LA there in the Queen City. Yes, this week, Greg Berhalter picked his final squad before the one that will head to World Cup 2022. A number of surprises, a return for the flailing Ricardo Pepi. Dude has not scored a goal for club nor country in 11 months. No place for hot as crap goal machine Pefok. And I'd like to believe, this is how I think about Pepi, a gent who is really in danger of becoming a cautionary tale, but he deserves one final chance. This gent who bailed Berhalter out, bailed the United States out when Greg needed him, when we needed him. And for that, Pepi warrants an unwarranted final opportunity to prove himself. And similarly, I'd like to believe that Pefok's exclusion doesn't mean he won't be headed to the World Cup. I have talked a lot about how I believe Greg's great Achilles heel is his obsession with his system. You know, it's a club football approach which just doesn't work at international football. Team is always better constructed by building a system, meshing, improvising even, a system around your best players, get them on the field rather than vice versa. Put it this way. If the baby Eagles need a goal with 10 minutes to play in the World Cup, who would you rather throw on from the US bench? And here's the challenge when it comes to United States and World Cup decisions. If you're asking me, who would I choose? That's one answer. But if you're asking me who I think Greg would choose, that is a very different set of players because they are two very different things. And as I said, in international football, I always believe that it's a simpler game, a cruder game, about picking the best players in best form, in the best leagues, in the world for your team, and then building a structure around them. Whereas Greg, from the beginning, still talks about it this way, thinks about international football, about systems and players fitting into his system. But as I've said a couple of times on AMPs, on Do It Lives, midweek, international football, it's not the club game. And it's about putting your best 11 together and working out how to stop the other team scoring and finding a way to get a goal. Look at England at the last World Cup. Set pieces, throw-ins. That is how they nick goals. And God, I would take Josh Sargent. I would take Pefok for sure. And now the players love Haji Wright. You know, they came through with him. They have a huge soft spot for him. I don't feel that strongly about him. But I also know US soccer has been courting Balogun for the longest time. I think the boat has now passed with this final squad. There's no chance to find out if there's any chemistry between him and the rest of the players. I don't mean just on the field, I mean off the field too. I'd honestly also have a plan B, which may become our plan A, where we unleash all of our talent, Pulisic, Gio, Weir, Brendan, go strikerless. But if I was to put money on it, Greg will start game one of the World Cup with Jesus Ferreira. Let's see. On Wednesday, I'm going to break all of this down. I can't actually wait to talk to him, get his perspective with my friend Hercules Gomez of ESPN. Come and join us on AMP on Wednesday and let's talk about it together. For more on the US men's national team roster drop and our boys study abroad form and how that form may have affected the bounce pass king of New Jersey selection, read our very first edition of a weekly content offering that we're still developing. It's going to come out in newsletter form shortly. American States United, that we're going to bring out every week in the lead to the World Cup. Please send our suggestions. It's on our website right now. If you want Baby Eagle content, we've got Paul Carr coming in, joining us in our newsletter today. We're really leaning in the drum roll towards World Cup 22. Email us at meninblazers@gmail.com with any insights or creative suggestions you have for how we can better give you the information you want, crave, need ahead of the World Cup. Next question.
Hey, Raj. John Wesley calling in from Providence, Rhode Island, the greatest road since Thunder. And U.S. women's and men's national team supporter, Everton supporter as well. And I was wondering if you had seen the viral video of the great Welsh actor Michael Sheen that's been going around, and his very stirring, inspirational, rousing message to the Welsh national team. I got to say, I'm a little terrified after seeing that rousing speech from Michael Sheen that, you know, that we have to face the Wales squad in the World Cup early on. I think it's going to be tough after that inspirational speech. All right, thanks so much. Love you. Love to Devo. And courage.
John Wesley. Yes, I too am terrified. I'm quaking in my shoes at the prospect of Gareth Bale flicking his "I give a crap about football" switch on again when he pulls a Wales jersey on and listens to some pre-match Sheen. Let's take a listen.
I hear the voices singing. Speed your journey, boys, boys, Bach. One nation singing with one voice. A song of hope, a song of courage, a victory song that floats through the valleys like a red mist, rolls over the mountaintops like crimson thunder. A red storm is coming to the gates of Qatar. It crackles with the spirit of 58 and Jimmy Murphy's boys. It turns the pages of the history books and finds Rob's page. Waiting.
How do we compete with that? Some Hanks? Do we go Hanks? But now Hanks makes you just want to sit back and pull on a Mr. Rogers cardi and some slippers. Morgan Freeman. Shall we Freeman it? You know, I'm recording a show about how Qatar got the World Cup in the first place. Yes, I know, corruption. But I'm taping it with my mate Tommy Vito. It's Football Meets Geopolitics. And suffice it to say, the United States sent Morgan Freeman in its delegation to try and win the World Cup bid for 2022 back in 2010. And when you listen to that podcast, I think you'll agree, let's torpedo the Freeman idea. So that leaves us Streep, Meryl Streep, always Streep for everything. I would go Streep. I would. She can do anything. She can probably play the greatest manager US men's national team have ever had. Failing that, Tracy Chapman. What could be better than Tracy? For motivational purposes, maybe Tracy save her for the post game. Honestly, McConaughey, chest thumping, bongo playing, maybe in a green suit, maybe in the nude, who knows, who cares? But if I was able to suggest the players do anything other than listen to McConaughey, and I'm going to make that real, to come full circle in this podcast, ahead of Constitution Day this Saturday, I would suggest the players attend a naturalisation ceremony right before kickoff because, well, here's how I ended my address to my fellow new citizens on Wednesday, as I already admitted, sobbing as I did so, with the Constitution to my rear, I said the following. This document behind me, the Constitution. Our Constitution begins with the iconic phrase, "We the people." You are now part of that we, and I can tell you from experience, this moment of becoming a citizen is a personal transformation, a beautiful one that turns your American dreams formally into an American reality. And to become a citizen means to issue rights and responsibilities. The right to vote is amongst the most thrilling, the most crucial. But despite that change, I ask you this. Never forget the core dream which brought you here. It's a shared dream that should burn brightly within the heart of every American citizen, a commitment to love this nation and better it by being perpetually aware of the difference between that American dream and American realities, and to dedicate yourselves to closing the gap between the two, because this Constitution that we revere and celebrate today is proof of the possibility to thrive through change. Indeed, the genius of America is that we can change. Martin Luther King, Susan B. Anthony, Ida B. Wells, Harvey Milk, Cesar Chavez, Grace Lee Boggs, they're all proof of that incredible American lives committed to pursuing change with courage, optimism, and hope, daring this country to live up to its potential. And that's what makes America extraordinary. And now all of you are part of that work. So let us lift up that mantle together. Let's understand our capacity, our responsibility as citizens to dedicate ourselves to change for the betterment of all. As the great American poet Langston Hughes said, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet and yet must be. And our task now is to dream together and ground those dreams in our realities. Now go out there and smash England. This is Rog. We'll be back on Monday. Don't forget, season 9 premiere of the Men in Blazers show, available Sunday on Peacock. It is beautiful. Watch and weep. Big love from me. Courage. Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.